and my fortress and my deliverer. You know, in the church that Renee and a few of the rest of us grew up in, I can't remember in 20 years of attending church ever hearing one sermon about delivery. It was a subject that we evidently avoided. Delivery, deliverance. And it's really part of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is not a scary thing that's like on TV, like the movie Deliverance. Remember? Now, I'm not talking about that kind of deliverance. And I'm not going to get to most of these this morning, much, I don't think. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to deliver us from the power of suggestion. If you smell coffee, what do you want to do? Those coffee drinkers, huh? We look over there, the power of suggestion. Somebody else, tell me a power of suggestion. Somebody yawns. Okay, let's try that, should we? Have you ever tried to not yawn when somebody's just obnoxiously going at it? It is an amazing thing. The power of oppression. Oppression is when the evil spirit, which we determine is still in the world because Jesus was tempted for 40 days, and the devil said, okay, that's enough. I'll come back and visit you at a more opportune time later. And if it could happen 2,000 years ago, it can happen today. And does. And the power of possession. Early on in my long career here at Belt Community Church, I was sharing about driving bus in Seattle and how near the end of my tenure, I came to a stop up to a zone, and there was a young man twisted. You remember that story? Twisted. 5 o'clock in the morning, and I knew that this young man was possessed, and I opened the door up to let somebody in, and everything in me wanted to go out and just say, that's enough, and deliver that child. But the Holy Spirit said, you better not. Remember that sermon? I do. Because you're not ready, speaking to me. What do you mean? All I have to do is jump out here, say a few catchphrases, and it'll work. Read your Bible about people who, like ourselves, have gone off not quite prepared, have an understanding and a knowledge, but not the authority. Can we simply grasp this simple fact that the enemy is a strong force? Now, come on, Mark, we came here to hear the good news. This is the good news, that Jesus is stronger than the strong force. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum on the Sabbath. Jesus went into the church and began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them with one who had, and it says authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? He's using the word us. One man is saying us, meaning what? I mean, there was multiple spirits involved. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And be quiet, Jesus said. And come out of him. And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? Something new? We haven't seen this. This one teaches a new teaching and with, all together now, authority. How do you get authority? I will tell you something. Years ago, I became authority on brake shoes and brake pads. And what happens if you don't change them? Went on a trip with my father and brother to my grandfather's funeral in Nebraska. Everything was going fine, and the wheels began to do this, which is an indication that something's wrong. Amen? And then I thought, that might be the brake pads. I am very non-technical. I know nothing. Turn the key on. Pretty quick, you can just say to your car, start, right? Start and go. See you. I'm busy here. And pretty soon the squeaking didn't begin, but I was still stopping. I thought, hey, this is pretty good. It wasn't the brake pads at all. What do you think what was happening there? I went into the what? Thank you. Stay right there. I went into the rotor with the metal. So I was stopping metal on metal. Well, it still worked. Know what I'm saying? It was in the wintertime, very cold, and if I was to look outside the car, what do you think maybe I would have seen? Sparks a-flying. But it was stopping. That's all I needed to know. Got back to Great Falls. Trying to save a nickel, not replacing those pads, I had to replace everything. And if it hadn't been cold, I probably would have cooked my dad, my brother, and myself in that car. So I'm an authority now. If I feel even the slightest thing going, uh-oh, time to change a bit. You want to do it for what? What do you think the cost difference is? 1/10 of what it costs if you don't do it on time? Yes, Renee, I'm authority on Charles Russell High School. He hates that. I sat on a little bicycle and watched them build it. I didn't know what they were building, but I sat and watched them build it. I was there the very first football game, the very first basketball game. I went from the sophomores, junior varsity, senior, the varsity. I left. I went to that school 3 years. I announced for him in the field house. I announced for him in the gymnasium. I announced for him on radio. I did a baccalaureate for him in the service. I was, Mr. CMR. I'm an authority on this school. You grant me a little grace here. I'm an authority on basketball. Really? Yes, I am. I suspect that there are probably 1 billion people in the world, 1 billion, who know as much as I do about basketball, but nobody knows more. From the fifth grade on, through 3 years of high school, through 4 years of college, starting every year in I'm doing this for the good ones here, starting every year in college, I was the point guard, and the point guard, how many of you know that the world revolves around the point guards? The forwards, on the other hand, are at the end of the court talking to the cheerleaders, their mothers up in the stands, they're waiting for you to bring the ball down and maybe give them an easy dish under the basket, and you're dribbling the ball, fighting off everybody, including the referees. One, they're counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're fighting them all off. And you do all that just to deliver the ball to a center who turns around, does a little layup, and goes back. I became an authority on basketball by doing it day after day after day after day. Game after game. Circumstance after circumstance. Winning some, losing some, but involved totally. I'm an authority on adults who can't swim. And somebody in here just got nervous. And babies who can't sink. In college, I taught them both. Adults who can't swim and babies who can't sink. You go, whoop, come right back up. At one time when I was teaching, I had 4 or 5 babies in the water, like little footballs. You just have to make sure the right side is up. Know what I'm saying? And up above you, there's a glass, and the parents are like watching me like crazy, and their baby rolls over. And I saw it. And I just turn them over, and when they would turn over, I'd turn them over. Phew, I'd spit in their face, the baby's face. And what do you think that baby would do to me? Spit back. And that's how they learn to spit. You take and survive in the water. You drop off your boat. They fall in the water face down. You teach them to throw an arm. They roll over. And while everything else is going on, that baby's laying on its back waiting to be rescued because you taught them. You adult people, we're not talking swimming here this morning, but I'm talking deliverance. You think, oh, I can never swim. I'm 99. I'll tell you what. How on earth do you teach a post 75-year-old person how to swim when they are totally afraid of it? Isaiah 28:10. You do it line on line, little by little, precept by precept, and spit by spit. What you do, you take them out to water this deep. What happens to people who are afraid of water? They can't stand the water splashing in their face. Sound familiar? So you splash a little water, and they, at that age, learn to spit back at you and breathe. Hey, I can do that. I can spit and breathe. And so you go on and on with them, month after month, week after week, and you slowly, slowly deliver them. You do. From that horrible fear of water. Psalm 18:2, He is our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. He has come to deliver you from yourself and from what your habits are and what you've inherited genetically in an Adamic nature. This is just who I am. This is why my dad, mom, and uncles, and aunts, and everybody, this is what we are. Well, the good news is that we serve a delivering God. And He can change you. Woo! If you'll do it. First thing you do when you come out the basketball, at least I always did. I was way out of shape, so you had to do this running back and forth, running back and forth, running back and forth, running back and forth. You have to get in shape first. And usually by the end of the week, the kids who really didn't want to play quit. Amen. I went out for football one day in West Junior High. I'd never played football. I thought it doesn't look so hard on TV. And they do this little deal where you put your hand down and run around circles. Silly football players. And a guy stomped on the end of my finger and took it off with his cleat. Well, I quit. I don't want that kind of suffering. If you cannot cause yourself to suffer and go over and over and over, as Isaiah, I was going to read it in the Living Bible, it says in Isaiah 28:10, it says, what's this Isaiah? What's wrong with Isaiah? He's treating us like little kids. He goes over the same thing over and over and over and speaks to us in simple little languages. Does he think we're children? No, that's what you have to do to change. How many of you have absolutely great handwriting? Well, some of you do, but you're not telling us. Because we don't like those of you that the teacher goes, oh, look, class. How do you keep that handwriting going? You have to go over it and over it and over it and over it. Romans 12, 1 and 2, particularly Romans 2. Be not conformed to how you are, but be what? Transformed. That's a churchy word. What's it mean? It means be changed. You don't have to be what you have been. You don't have to be what other people have told you. If I listened to 10% of the people who talked to me and told me what I was and what I would be, whew, I turned a deaf ear. You can be changed line on line, precept on precept in Matthew 12 is the picture of Jesus casting out another evil spirit. And he says, well, here's what happens. You cast out the evil spirit, and you clean it up, and you get all in order, and you remain unoccupied. Or another version says, you do all this nice stuff, but you remain empty. And the spirits do what? He runs out and gets six of his friends and says, hey, we got this guy who's trying to quit this, that, or the other thing. And he wants to quit, but he's doing nothing about replacing it. He's just hoping. Like some of those shots I see taken. They're not 20-foot shots. They're not. They're like 42-foot shots, throw it up. And Stephen Curry may make a few. It's called low percentage basketball. If you really desire to change, the answer is to fill yourself up with something. I'm beginning to understand this Jenny Craig thing. Isn't she the one who has a little counselor? Hello, Jenny Craig. Earth the Dieters. Does anybody know out here? Huh? One of those counseling organizations, you not only, you don't just get the food, you get a little counselor to sit beside you to do commercials. And she really cared for me, and she really helps me. Do you know? That's part of filling up the emptiness. God has given us His Word to feed upon, to fill us up. You can't break free from who or what you are unless you fill up the emptiness inside of you. And it comes three ways. One, the Word of God. What do I have to... You mean I just read this? This thing puts me to sleep anyhow. Philippians 4:13. It says, it doesn't say anything, you have to read it. It reads, I think, "For I can do all things," finish that for me, "through Christ," who does what? Strengthens me. Put that in your mind and your spirit and your soul. Second thing you need is you need, if you really want to break free from who or what you are, you need, I won't say you need, but I will put it this way, God has given the body of believers for you. And you need to just talk to find someone who loves you and say, "Hey, this is what I'm trying to change in my life. Would you kind of pray with me daily?" You see, it's as a body, we give to each other strength. My personality is I like to be left alone, totally. Independent as heck. That's just the kind the enemy really loves. He isolates you off to the side, gets you by yourself, and then we who are so strong get whittled down quick. The Word of God, the people of God, and then the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, we worship not the Bible, we worship a living God. The Bible tells us what's on God's mind, and the Holy Spirit then quickens it and makes it energy for us. He makes the Word, the written Word of God, come to life and give strength to you and to me. So whatever somebody has told you about yourself, or whatever you've ascertained, this is the way I am. The enemy didn't have Jesus. Remember this part? You remember your part. It's like milk and honey, only different, okay? The enemy didn't have Jesus, and he doesn't what? He doesn't have me. That's church talk. It can be, or you can make it happen through him. You can find deliverance from who and what you are. Are you always fearful? Are you always doubtful? Are you angry? Does somebody say something and you immediately respond? That's the way my dad, bless his heart, he very quick to react. Boom, bam, my dad had a quick answer and a quick something else. He was just too quick. And so I found that in my nature. I got more technical fouls, bless your heart, in college, in the history of anybody that's ever played for Northwest University. Me. Somebody would push my button and I would respond. Somebody was talking about attitude. Yeah, I had one, but I had things I had to break. I had 12 technical fouls when I was a freshman, 10 when I was a sophomore, only 2 when I was a junior. I was growing up in the Lord. And when I was a senior, 0. Because God changed me. He delivered me from who I am in some of the makeup I have. And Brandon, I'm talking to you. As well as everybody else. I wouldn't just pick on one person. But you and I had a conversation about something about you, and the minute we did, the Lord said, "Tell that young man that's not true. You can be what you choose to be through Christ. You can be the student you want to be." I had a sixth grade teacher put me up in front at Riverview School, in front of the board, and she said, she thought they delighted in the fact I couldn't spell. Still can't. Thank God for Google. But how would you spell this, Mark? And I would spell phonetically, and the class would laugh. She did that over and over, trying to shame me into changing. All it did was made me a clown. To diffuse the laughter at me, I started to laugh with people. The power of the Holy Spirit has come to deliver us from who we are. Anything God can, if you'll put the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and say Matthew 18:20, whoo, where two or three, what, are gathered together in my name, there I am. And that becomes a synergistic power that is not just human. That's Shekinah synergistic power, which is supernatural. Isn't there a pill we can just change and change? Can't you get somebody in here from Europe who can preach and bring deliverance to us so we can change? Can't we just walk down front? He can lay hands on us. We can change.